Thank you and welcome to Scripture on Creation. I'm Scott Kump.
And I'm Dr. Ben Scripture.
Dr. Scripture, in our last program, you were interviewing the author of a short book titled Things That Creepeth. His name is Jeff Titchler, but we didn't have time to hear the entire interview.
And so we're going to hear the rest of that interview in a few moments, Scott. But before we hear the rest of the interview, I want to give a little background information first. Jeff's book, although it's short, it's only 30 pages long, is packed with fascinating details about and photographs of beetles.
Which explains the book's title. Beetles would be included in the multitude of land creatures God made on day 6 of creation, which are identified as things that creepeth in the King James Version.
That's right. Or creeping things in the New American Standard Bible, or things that move along the ground in the NIV, or the creepy crawlers, as I like to call them. But not only are the beetles part of the creeping things, they comprise over 50% of all animal species. Scott, there are over 1 million species of insects. And on top of that, the number of new species identified every year is between 5 to 10,000. And of those 1 million plus species of insects, over 75% of them are beetles.
So wait. Okay, so there are over 750,000 species of beetles?
And counting.
Oh, wow.
That's three times more than the number of all the species of green plants combined. So if numbers are any indication of God's favor, beetles are definitely God's favorite animals.
Which is rather ironic because most people are not very fond of bugs. But Dr. Scripture, there are lots of bugs that would not be classified as beetles, right? I mean, mosquitoes, spiders, or flies, they're not beetles.
Mm-hmm.
So just what traits determine if a bug is a beetle or not?
Well, given the focus of the book, that's an important question, Scott. It was something Jeff explained in the portion of the interview we listened to last time, but let's hear it again, and then we'll hear the rest of my conversation with Jeff Titchler, author of Things That Creepeth.
God must have loved the beetles greatly because he made so many.
Well, explain the difference between a beetle and a fly.
Excellent question. Coleoptera, which is the Greek name or the science name, which I'll define in a moment, but it comes from the fact that a beetle, like many insects, it has four wings, two pairs of wings, a forward and a rear set.
Okay.
The forward set of wings on a beetle are a hard case shell. That's where the name comes from, that Coleoptera means sheath wing or wing case.
Huh.
That's actually, a protective case that protects those wings and gives the beetle its distinct look, but they're also fully functional wings.
They are. The hard part over the wings on a beetle, they help the beetle fly?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Those are its forward wings. God is such a God of variety, the various way that he's worked throughout the whole animal kingdom. And sometimes there's a little overlap or modification. So animals with four wings that are just maybe soft and pliable, but then he decides to put a hard shell like your cuticle on your fingernail, and it gives them tremendous protections. And for some of the ones that are like boring beetles and they're inside wood and different things, I mean, it does serve a purpose to give it a little extra measure of protections.
Okay, so now like a fly doesn't have that hard encased second set of wings. It just has two wings and they're soft.
Yeah, and like I say, some insects may have four wings, but they're all going to be soft. And so the distinction that you asked about for the beetle is that hard shell. That's really what gives them the distinction.
Jeff then went on to describe some of the amazing characteristics of some of the different varieties of beetles.
I have quite a number of specimens I have in my collection that I look at, and I have in some of these little ones and large ones. Mm. And all I can tell you is when you look at color and size, it's just another example of where God went all out. I mean, it's one of these deals where he did it because he can. He did it because he wants to get our attention. He does it so that man would be out without excuse.
Right.
Because there's no evolutionary reason for the sheer volume of variety and colors. Some of these things are iridescent. I mean, they are absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, let me point out that in the book, you've got lots and lots of photographs of all these different beetles. I'm looking at the cover right here, and there's this one with red eyes and a green head, and then it's black and yellow like a bee, and then you've got the rhino beetles. Let me ask you something about that rhino beetle. You said that it could lift 850 times its weight.
Yeah.
And then you said something else that, frankly, Jeff, I questioned. I said, that can't be true. So I did the math. And indeed, you said that this rhino beetle being able to lift 850 times its own weight was equivalent to, here goes, everybody, you're not going to believe this, a 200-pound man lifting 85 tons.
Yeah,
that is so hard to believe, but I did the math and you're right. So you made a little picture of a tiny little beetle carrying like a dozen cell phones.
Eight cell phones.
Something.
Yeah, eight cell phones. Yeah, that'd be like putting like a tugboat on your back.
So you just wonder, how did God engineer this thing that such a tiny and lightweight creature could support that kind of weight? Are people studying these things to try to figure out if we could come up with mechanisms that could do that?
Yes, because most insects, and then of course the beetles, you know, for sure, have an exoskeleton. And that's why one of the unique things about, if you're involved a little bit like I am, like an amateur entomologist here, when beetles come out of their larva, they're full size. They don't grow.
Right.
And so what happens is because of that exoskeleton, in other words, where our skeletal system's on the inside, theirs is on the outside, you can't have blowouts. In other words, so there's right. this hard case on their legs and, you know, it would be on their knees and their body. But the skeleton's on the outside. And if you think about sometimes when they make braces or even when they're working on making robotic contraptions to go on people for their back or their arms or their legs, you know, it's an exoskeleton of sorts on the outside of the body. And you can create tremendous strength where some of these guys will put like a hand on. It'll be a mechanical hand that goes over their arm and they can manipulate it. But of course, the amount of strength they can put in there could be many times the human.
Well, the idea that what God has engineered in nature is far superior to what men engineer is also is a source of another book that you've written.
Yeah, I'm going to do my best to keep this super brief. That's High Tech versus the Highest Tech. With the subtitle, it's this: High Tech, what man creates, versus the Highest Tech, what we see in nature. In seminars and conferences I've done over about, you know, a number of years, I've spoken on over 300 different animals, and in that book, I give you 17 examples of my personal favorites.
All right.
This thing will blow your mind.
All right. Well, I haven't read that book yet. I read your book, Things That Creepeth, and yeah. I never like to, you know, interview somebody about a book they've written if I haven't read it yet. So what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to get that book next, and I'll read it. And I would really like then to talk with you, Jeff, about some of the examples of the superiority of God's design in nature versus the feeble attempts of man to design things that work. The thing is...
Yeah, the one thing I would add on that, by the way, is that book has, I think, five insects I speak on and the rest of about a dozen different other animals. So that mixes it up and I open up the discussion to other animals. So that's really cool.
All right. Well, with all that said about all the fascinating features of some of these different kinds of beetles, again, I had mentioned that one of the things that I really appreciated in your book, Jeff, was how you continued to challenge the reader with the inadequacy of evolution to explain these features, the diversity, and so forth, pointing out that the best, the most logical, the reasonable explanation is that the Creator created these creatures just the way they are, that evolution couldn't produce them. One of the other things that you continue to point out is the tragedy of the acceptance of evolution without asking questions. Why don't you talk a little bit about the motivation behind continuing to make this strong point in your book?
Yeah, so in addition to having the gift of evangelism, just, you know, really personally, I find it so heartbreaking to see what the indoctrination through the state schools and, you know, whatever other mechanisms Satan is using, but that young people really don't have a grasp of the significance, importance of nature and really what nature is screaming, what nature is saying to them. And people just don't know what they don't know. So in the books I write, I definitely have a burden and I believe a God leading to try to be as exciting, make these fast moving, as compelling as possible, kind of like movie clips.
Well,
in order to get people's attention.
Of course, the pictures always help too. Pictures and graphs, some of the graphs were just excellent. You know, we talked earlier about the different percentages of insects to the animal kingdom and then beetles to the insects. And those kind of charts really make it easy to understand that beetles are Beetles are the main man when it comes to God's creation on this planet, in the sense of how many different species he made. One of the other things that you mentioned, Jeff, was God's primary way of keeping this planet clean and livable is beetles. And through what you share in the book, you make that pretty clear. But something else that really struck me and that I really appreciated was how clear you presented the gospel at the end of the book. You're always pointing to the Creator. You're always pointing to the relationship that we can and should have with Him as our Creator, and even more importantly, as our Savior. So I really appreciate this book that you've written, The Unfathomable Wondrous World of Things That Creepeth. The author, Jeff Tischler, has been kind enough to share some of his time with us. What was the name of this newest book that describes the difference between man's attempts to do technological wonders and God's ability to, through nature, make things that are just such high tech?
Thank you. High tech versus the highest tech.
Ah, good. Okay. And, you know, I think it's a book I'm going to order myself. And then I look forward to maybe talking with you about that book and some of the amazing examples I'm sure will be in that one, Jeff. So God bless you. Thank you so much for sharing with us today. And I look forward to talking with you again.
Thank you very much, Ben.
Well, Dr. Scripture, Jeff was a very interesting person.
I agree.
We do appreciate him coming on the Scripture on Creation program. And with the time we have left, let's tell our listeners how they can get one of the booklets we've been discussing.
Excellent idea, Scott. There are two ways to get Things That Creepeth. If you go onto eBay and simply type in Jeff's name, Jeff Tischler, that's T-I-C-H-E-L-A-R, or type the title of his book, Things That Creepeth. And by the way, creepeth is spelled C-R-E-E-P-E-T-H. The eBay search engine will take you to the page where you can purchase either of his books. Things That Creepeth will cost about $10 total on eBay. But the other way to get the book is simply ask us at Scripture on Creation, and we'll send you one. And how would they make that request, Scott?
Send us an email to scripture@scriptureoncreation.org.
Right. And the cost will be $4 plus postage. You know, I decided to help make the book available because I think it would be a wonderful gift for children, grandchildren, as well as adults who are interested in learning a whole raft of facts you never knew about God's favorite animals, beetles.
Hmm.
Now, I don't want anyone taking that the wrong way. Of all God's creation, man, of course, is most important. But remember, man is not an animal. Thus, in Genesis 1, 25 and 26, it says, "And God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and every thing that creeps on the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And that's not what I say. That's what Scripture says.